Father God, we love you. We praise you, Lord. Thank you for the wonderful testimonies. Thank you for your encouragement, Lord. Thank you that your will is going to be done in this service, Lord, that we're going to leave here changed people, Lord, that we may have come in here discouraged, but we won't leave here discouraged. We may have come in here in distress or hopeless, but we won't leave that way, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for your word has power, Lord. Thank you that it's going to get into our hearts and into our minds, Lord, and we're going to leave here excited and expecting big things from a big, big God. We love you. We praise you. Your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So, guys, listen, last week we were talking about hope in a hopeless situation. We talked about those two disciples that were leaving Jerusalem after the death and burial of Jesus Christ. Now, these guys, they were in a bad situation. Their hearts were broken. Their hearts were crushed. This would be a really big hopeless situation. Amen? They thought everything that they had put their heart into had just fallen apart. They thought that Jesus Christ was going to come into Jerusalem like so many others and kick out the Romans. They were super excited about that. But then everything just changed all at once. Jesus is arrested. He's paraded through the streets, and he's nailed to a cross. And then their dreams and their hopes are just crushed, and their hearts are completely broken. Now, have you ever been in that situation? Have you ever been in that situation where it just seems so hopeless? You didn't know how you were going to get out of this situation, if it was ever going to change, if you were ever, ever going to see the top at the bottom of the barrel ever again, if anything was ever going to be better again. Okay, listen, this is what we got to do, beloved. We got to put our trust in the Most High God. We have got to trust in the Most High God. Don't let the wind and the waves and what you see, don't let that bring in discouragement, doubt, or fear. Amen? Well, let's go ahead in Luke 24 and verse 13. I'm going to read that real fast. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. Their hearts were broken, man. Their hearts were crushed. Now look at Matthew 6 and verse 10. I do believe that's on your bulletin there. Matthew 6 and verse 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's read that again. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, that's how we're supposed to pray. Amen. We're supposed to pray, God's will be done. Not my will, but God's will be done. Now, keep in mind that these people, man, they were so distraught, and they were probably fearing for their life, and they're getting out of Jerusalem. You know, they everything's just falling apart. And they had a certain plan. They thought that Jesus was going to do something that Jesus actually never said he was going to do. He never said, we're going in Jerusalem, we're kicking out the Romans. He never said that. But he did say over and over again that I'm going to be handed over to sinful men, that I'm going to be... What he said came to pass. You see what I'm saying? But they had different plans for Jesus, and their hearts were breaking. What I'm trying to say right now, guys, is listen. We want to align our will. Listen, let me see if I can do this. We want to align our will with the Most High God's will. We want what God's want. Don't we really want what God wants out of our lives? Whatever that is, these disciples, the whole bunch of them had a certain plan for Jesus. But Jesus had a mission, and he wasn't going to deviate from that mission. He was going to do what the Father sent him to do. Amen. So when we pray, we want to say, God, your will be done. Let me read that verse again. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How many of you guys think God's will pretty much takes place in heaven? Yeah. It happens just like that. No one's questioning him. No one's saying, oh, no, you don't understand logistics, the good Lord. What we're going to have to, oh, it doesn't happen like that, man. Okay, God's will is done in heaven. And in our own hearts and in our homes and in our little world, we need to say, you know what? I may have had a different plan for my life at this stage. I may have thought this could have happened or whatever. But you know what? It's not about me. It's not about me. It's about you. You are everything. Father God, I just want your will to be done. Amen. And guess what? When you do that and you really mean that and you give that burden to the Lord, you're going to get peace like you never have before. You know what I mean? This is what I wanted to do, but you know what? It's more important to be what you've called me to be, to do what you want me to do. So first and foremost, listen to me right now. We want God's will. Amen. We want God's will. So Psalm 37 and verse 4, right there on your monitor. Delight yourself in the Lord. Fall in love with the Lord. How many of us could get a little deeper in our relationship with the Lord? Why don't we all just go ahead and raise our hands? All of us. All of us. You know, I'm sure every single one of us love the Lord. I'm sure we all do. But you know what? The good Lord wants us to know him more and more and more. And the more we get to know him, the more we're going to see that he's faithful, the more we're going to fall deeply in love with him. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that nice? We're going to fall in love with the Lord, and we will be able to say, you know what? It ain't about me. You know what? It's not about me. It's not about what I wanted. It's about what God wants. Amen? Amen. Delight yourself in the Lord, and that's what we have to do. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Ooh, that's a cool verse. That's an awesome verse. Okay. Fall in love with Jesus. Put Jesus first, and he's going to give me every single thing I ever wanted. Boy, that's awesome. That is awesome. He's going to give me all the desires of my heart. And I, Lord God, I got a bunch of desires upon my heart. There's a bunch of things I want to do, I need to do. I would... It's not, that's not what that says. That's not what that means. You know, fall in love with the good Lord. Fall in love with Jesus. And he is going to instill in you, this is really cool, he is going to instill in you his desires for you into your heart. The more you love Jesus, the more you're going to be like, you know what? Your will, not mine. I'm here for you. I don't know how this is going to happen, but I know you're good. I know you're faithful. I'm trusting in you. And man, get ready for some excitement. Amen. Give him some praise. Give him some glory. My goodness gracious. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. That's the place each and every one of us want to be this morning, man. If we don't want to be in that place, that's what we need to pray. That's where we need to set out. God, instill in me that desire to be what you want me to be. Amen. Okay. Praise the Lord. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. Two cats with a broken heart, two guys with a broken heart. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. That is just simply wonderful right there. Listen to me right now. We did go over this last week, but man, we have got to get a hold of this stuff. I know that so many people in this church and people in this church that know people outside of this church, that their worlds on the outside look like they're crumbling. People's hearts are broken out there. And if your heart isn't broken, you probably know somebody whose heart is broken where you can do something about it. You know what I mean? And yes, you are supposed to do something about it. Am I supposed to pay their bills? I'm not saying you're supposed to pay their bills. I'm not saying that. I'm saying you're supposed to do what the good Lord calls you to do. You know what I mean? Be there for these people. And he might want you to help a brother out. Anyways, Luke 24 and verse 15. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. I love that so much, man. Because listen, as Bible-believing Christians, not as perfect people, because ain't nobody perfect in here, right? That's not going to happen, all right? And we're blessed because we understand we're not perfect people. That's what I like about us. We don't want to judge and condemn other folks, man. We ain't perfect. We belong to a perfect God. And we want to give the world the love of Jesus, same love that he gave us. We got to give them the truth, amen? We got to give them the truth, and the truth is Jesus. Anyways, that's another sermon. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Man, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. No matter what you go through, Bobby Jean, no matter where you find yourself, you are never alone. You are never alone. You know what I mean? It does not matter what happened to you last week, what's going to happen to you this week. If you love the good Lord God, if you are in relationship with him, It's a covenant relationship. He doesn't break his covenant with his people. You know what I mean? And no matter where you are, God is with you. Well, what in the world does that mean? What's that got to do with the price of tea in China? All God's people say, listen, man, that's a big deal, man. The creator of the universe is holding your hand through the hardest times of your life. He's right there with you. Amen? So go ahead and give him some praise, man. If we could go to the next slide, Brother David, that would be super swell. Now, looky here, Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41, check that out. This is a little bit of what it means when the Christian says, well, I'm not alone. God is with me. God is with me. That's a true statement, man. And this is a little bit about what that means. Fear not. Okay. So I do not have to be full of fear, man, even if my situation looks hopeless. You think these two disciples, man, that were getting out of Dodge, right? They were leaving Jerusalem. They're like, this is a messed up situation, man. Our names might be on some list somewhere in Pilate's office, or the Sanhedrin might be coming to knock on our door next. We got to get out of town, man. This is a bad deal. I know people saw me with Jesus, man. I know they did. They were probably fearing for their life. And not only that, their whole world has crumbled, man. Imagine if on Monday you thought your buddy was going to be president in a couple days, or things were going to be awesome. But by the end of the week, he's being crucified. You know what I mean? Their whole world got thrown upside down overnight. Do you think they might have had a little fear in their heart? A little discouragement? A little despair? Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Fear not, for I'm with you. Imagine that. Fear not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. That's the problem right there sometimes, Brother Shepherd, is we forget who we really belong to. We forget because we look at how frail we are and how messed up we are and all that stuff. Like, it's really not about you, man. It's about what's been done for us and who we belong to. You know what I mean? The Most High God, the one true God, creator of the universe, big, big God, small you, loves you. And he says, I'm with you, man. Don't worry about it. Read it. Get in the Old Testament. Get in the New Testament. Look at all these mighty miracles that God does for his people, and know that he loves you just as much as he loved Hezekiah. You know what I mean? He loves you just as much. He's not going to leave you or forsake you. So he's like, fear not. And he means you don't have to be afraid. You really don't have to be afraid. Because why? Why, Paul? Because I'm your God. I'm your God. Not some fake God. I'm your God. And I got a real big resume right here. You know what I mean? Of all some of the stuff that I picked out for you to know. And you know, it said in the good book that they couldn't fit all the stuff that Jesus Christ did. You know what I mean? In a book. All right. Anyways, tell the truth. Shame the devil. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. Well, sometimes we forget that. For I am your God. I will strengthen you. That's a big plus. Have you ever felt God's hand on you, giving you strength, helping you do the right thing? You know what I mean? Like, oh, I don't really want to do the right thing. I don't really want to be the good Christian right now. I don't really. Yeah. but if you hold on, God will give you that strength, man. And when you're so weak and so weary and you're just working so hard and all that sort of jazz, guess what? God's with you and he gives you strength. He really does. He really, really does. We got to accept it. Okay. I will strengthen you. I will help you. Well, that's cool. So you'll give me strength to do the things that I can do to make me keep going. I can keep going. But what I cannot do, the places I can't reach, you're going to help me. This is our God, man. We're really, really blessed. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Man, that is super awesome, man. God says, I'm going to hold you up, man. I'm going to hold you up with my righteous right hand. I am going to give you my righteous right hand. I'm going to have Jesus right there beside you, my righteous right hand, to hold you up, no matter what you're going through. God, we're blessed, man. We're really blessed people. And, man, I know, man. I know. People are going through it. But I also know this, that God is right there with us. Okay. I'll read Job 23 in verse 10. We don't always understand. We really don't always understand the things that God allows. You know, but he's God and he knows what he's doing. But here's a little reason that can give us encouragement right now. Job 23 and verse 10. But he knows the way that I take. I love that. I know I always say that. But it's true. God knows exactly where you're at. He knows exactly what you're going through. He even knows what's right around the corner. And he still says, you know what? I got a secret for you. I'm going to let you in a little something, something. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. Things might get crazy. You ain't no stranger to crazy. Things might get a little wild, but I'm right here with you. I'm going to hold you up. We're going to get through this. And there's going to be a good result. You know, God does promise a good result. Well, that ain't true because, you know, this happened and that, nothing good come out of that. Man, listen, we don't always understand why God allows stuff, but there's always a good result somewhere. You know what I mean? That whole silver lining jazz, whatever that's all about. No, God will take your ashes and make it something beautiful. You can look back at your life and see, you know, man, God, you were all in the middle of all that stuff. Even in my deep sin days, man, you were right there protecting me. I don't even know why you did that. Huh? He loves us, man. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Where are we at? But he knows the way that I take. Aren't you glad about that? You're not lost in the masses of humanity. God knows what his babies are going through. And he's not going to give us more than we can handle. He'll give us way more than we can handle, so we lean on him. Thank you, Jesus. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, all right, when he has tried me, I shall come out as gold. There we are. There we are. That's what God's doing to all of his babies, man. He's in the sanctification business with his children, maturing his babies, making his babies to where they can be in an army, the army of the Most High God. You know what I mean? He's got to mature us and grow us up. We wouldn't pick none of this stuff out for ourselves. But God says, this is what Paul Rott needs so he can get out of diapers and become a real man so I can use him a little bit before he has to get back into diapers. Yeah. Yeah. You like that? Oh, man. Yeah. It don't matter. God is good. Oh, man. I don't even remember what I said. It's something about diapers. Not so bad. No, I'm playing. God is good. So what's going on today? What are we talking about? And he said to them, verse 17, and he said to them, what is this conversation that you are holding with each other? As you walk, and they stood still looking sad. I know we've already been through all this, but man, this stuff is so awesome. Because, listen, here's the picture right here. They're walking. Here's Jesus walking with them. Did I already read that part where Jesus is with them? But they don't understand it's Jesus. They don't recognize that it's Jesus. They're just walking balls of sadness. Not balls, but just some sad dudes, man. And Jesus has disguised himself for whatever reason, okay? So there's a lot of debate about what he did or why he did. Well, let's just rest on this. What we know is God decided that at this moment in time, these people would not understand that they're walking next to Jesus Christ, okay? So there we are, and Jesus, this is so cool, Josh. Jesus is like, hey, what you guys talking about? And their hearts are crushed and broken, and they can't even say anything. You ever been that sad? Where you can't even really muster up the words. Where do I start? Everything was great, but now it's all collapsed. Just pure sadness. Just a broken, broken, broken heart. Hopeless. Hopeless is like a really bad word. Hopeless means no hope, right? All hope is lost. Something like that. Christians, we cannot allow ourselves to be in that place. Because that's not our reality. As Christians, that's never our reality. You know what I mean? Are y'all with me? And he said to them, what is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk? And they stood still looking sad. You ever been in that situation where you're like, where do I start, man? I don't even know. Okay. Real fast, you will not find this on your slide or in your bulletin. I'm going to continue to read a short story by Henry David Thoreau. I'm playing. Bet y'all didn't know that I knew who Henry David Thoreau is. I don't know who Henry David Thoreau is. I think he wrote Walden. It doesn't matter. I think he wrote a lot of the episodes of Walton's. It doesn't matter. All right. Luke 24 and verse 18, you actually will not find this on the monitor. Then one of them named Cleopas answered him, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem? They knew that he was coming, that Jesus, they didn't know it was Jesus, but they figured that this guy was leaving the Passover celebration, going back to his hometown. The only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? Isn't that cool? Jesus is like, what are you guys talking about? Man, where you been living under a rock? No, I am the rock. No, what are you talking about? What's been going on? What things? And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth. Oh, tell me more. Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was, listen, broken heart, a man who was. He ain't what I thought he was. He was a good guy. He did some great teachings. He taught all this good stuff, but you know what? He's in the ground. He's dead. It was fun while it lasted. That's not our reality, and that's not their reality. Okay, a man who was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified. And they crucified him. Now, we have the privilege of looking back on all this stuff as already happened. And so it's really, really interesting to read this, and you're like, man, they're talking to Jesus. And Jesus told them on several occasions, his people, I'm going to be handed over to evil men. I'm actually going to be crucified. These things are going to happen to me. You know what I mean? And then as they're saying this, I mean, it would kind of make you think, well, man, some bells, some synapses should be, something should be going on here. But sometimes we can get so bad off, man. We can get so into such a deep, deep hole that everything can just seem completely lost. Now, I could have believed in that last week, but a lot's happened since last week, man. You know what I mean? My world is messed up. I'm just on life support, man. I'm just chilling till quitting time. All right. Mighty indeed in word before God, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped, that's another one, underline that. But we had hoped, past tense, he wasn't who he said he was. He wasn't what Peter was saying. He was the Son of God. He wasn't none of them things. I saw him dead. I saw him dying, man. I saw his body. You know what I mean? I can't even deal with that stuff anymore. Come on, Cleopas, let's just get out of town, man. We'll go work at the glass factory over in Emmaus. Just start over again. All right. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Now, pretty much hopeless. 3 days. We stood around for 3 days. Nothing's happening. Everybody's getting wacky over there. The disciples are getting crazy. I can't hang out with these guys anymore. I just got to get gone. We got to get on. Done with it. That was the old me. I'm no longer a Christian, man. It's a big waste of my time. All right? And these guys were in a bad place. And if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes we can get in a bad place like that. Like, I am so sick of Christian people. People are weird. Christian people are super weird. You know what I mean? It's like you can get in a bad, bad place. Well, you get in a real bad place real fast, amen? Amen. And that's where these cats were at. We can't be in a hopeless situation. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Now, listen, we want to help folks out that are going through a hard time, and we want help when we're going through a hard time. Look what Jesus did when he's hanging out with these cats. What's he doing? Right now, he's listening to them. He's letting them get it all out. Sometimes we wouldn't be so weird as Christians if we would actually listen to people that are hurting.
Amen.
Instead of running up to them and say, well, bless God, the word of God. But that's it. I mean, the word of God has power. And believe me, if I'm coming to your house, we're going to talk about the word of God. But look, man, we need to listen to people. Sometimes people, man, just really need to be heard. Jesus is listening to these folks, man, and they're just pouring it out. You can tell their heart's broken, man. They're just telling this guy, they don't know he's Jesus, everything. You know, imagine being scared for your life, and then here's this guy. They don't know if he's a spy or something. He's like, man, they just are pouring out their hearts. You know what I mean? I think as Christians, it would be awesome if we would listen to one another every once in a while. Instead of, you know, we have a tendency sometimes to display our awesome wisdom of the Word of God. And there's a time and place for that, but we really need to listen. I mean, here's our template, and this is what Jesus is doing. And Jesus is about to walk them through the Scripture. He's going to go step by step here in a second. But he's hearing these folks out. And not only that, man, Jesus is hearing these people out. He's letting them get all this stuff off their chest. And that's when people are going to get honest, right? But look, he's actually hanging out with these people. This is the risen Savior. Could have appeared before Pilate. Could have appeared before the Sanhedrin. If I was Jesus, and I am not, as you know, I would not probably pick these two guys out. You know what I mean? These are guys leaving town. I probably wouldn't have picked out the ladies at the tomb. Well, maybe. Maybe. I don't know. But listen, Jesus, what about appearing before Pilate? Hey, dude. What's up? Or what about the Sanhedrin or something like that? Remember when I was telling you about the 3 days? Here it is. Jesus wasn't like that, man. He rewards our faithfulness, and he does. He went to them ladies that went out to the tomb. You know what I mean? But when we are faithless, when our hearts are broken and crushed, he doesn't give up on us. When we're ready to give up on him, he's not ready to give up on us. He loves us, man. And all our tears, man, he holds them. He collects them. That's awesome. Well, that sounds kind of weird and mean that he collects my tears. No, man, he does it because he loves us. He loves us that much. Amen? All right. Let's go to the next slide. Is everybody doing all right? Can I get y'all a pastry? Wednesday night, Nadine brought over a pastry, and it was something. Something from Belgium. Them folks over there. It was good. Man, it was tasty. Verse 22. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning. This had just happened. And they're, listen, man, are they completely hopeless in their minds? Yes, they are completely hopeless because the women just gave this report. Hey, the tomb's empty. His body's not there. Angels said he is risen. We're supposed to go meet him down the road. And guess what? These guys are like, nope, I'm done. Game over. Hey, Cleopas, clock me out, man. I'm done. Let's get out of here. They've given up. Even though all this signs of encouragement are there, they're like, somebody's lying. Somebody's playing a trick. And I'm done. I saw the bloodstained cross, man. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And the angels said he was alive. Some of those who were there with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. He's like, they're talking with Jesus. They don't know it's Jesus. Like, yo, listen, these women said that they saw angels, and I know you can't always trust women nowadays, right? But listen, some of our friends went, and it was like, just like the women said. And we don't want anything more to do with it. We're just, this is too freaky. It's just hopeless. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it was just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Yeah, there was some stuff happened. The stone was rolled away, but there was no Jesus. Jesus was gone. Look at Mark 9 and verse 23. Is everyone okay? Y'all getting anything out of this? This situation, you know, with these women and you ever been like, well, I'm not going to allow myself to have any hope anymore. I'm tired of doing that. I'm tired of doing that and then it falling apart. I have no more hope. It's too good to be true, right? That sort of thing. Look at this little picture. I mean, look at these verses. Matthew 9 and verse 23 and 24. What we have here is a little situation or a big situation where this guy's kid, his son, is demon possessed. And this demon will take control of the kid and throw him around, and the demon will actually try and kill the kid by making him fall down in fire and stuff like that. So the dad, like any loving dad, is very much concerned. And then here's this Jesus of Nazareth that can do these amazing things. So he comes to Jesus. And this is, and he says to Jesus, hey, if there's anything at all you can do, imagine saying that to the creator of the universe in human flesh. If there's anything that you can do, okay, that's the situation this guy was in. Okay, so verse 23, this is what Jesus says. If you can, are you talking to me? If I can, I created the world, man. Demons ain't nothing to me. They ain't nothing. If you can, said Jesus, everything, listen, okay? If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for one who believes. Okay, God has all types of power, all types of authority. Okay, sometimes we don't get that blessing because we just refuse to believe anymore. We just give up because things have been too heavy, man. It's like, man, you don't know how hard my life has been. I don't know, man, but I know that God is faithful, and he's been there, and he knows exactly what you've been through. Okay, if you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for one who believes. Verse 24, immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Listen, sometimes that's a prayer we need to have, man. I believe that you can do these things, but I don't know if you want to do these things for me. I believe you can do these things, but Father God, strengthen me to where I can believe all things are possible. Like, really, really. You know what I mean? That's what this guy's saying about his son. I do believe you can do these things. But I begin to waver, man. I begin to doubt because stuff's heavy, man. You know, and life's hard and people are rude and mean to me. You know, help me believe in you. Help me believe in you that your word is true, that if I do turn the other cheek, it's going to work out. If I do forgive, it's going to work out. If I do so, I'm going to be a reaping. I don't know. I don't think I ever said that before. Anyways, I know y'all are getting tired. Let's go to the next slide. Luke 24 and verse 25. And he said to them, oh, foolish ones. Oh, this is so cool. I shouldn't have waited until the end to do this because now y'all aren't listening anymore. Man, this is awesome. This is so, so cool. They're sad, heartbroken, leaving Jerusalem. Here comes Jesus. They don't know it's Jesus. They're pouring their hearts out to Jesus. And Jesus is playing it really cool, man. Really cool. Okay, tell me more. What's going on? Let me hear what the trouble is. And then Jesus is just going, okay, here we go. It's time to get serious. And he said to them, oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Listen, man, when it gets heavy, when it gets hard, when it gets hopeless, remember that the Word of God is true. And we can stand on the Word of God, and we're not going to lose our victory. We're not going to lose control. We're not going to make a bunch of stupid decisions if we stand on the Word of God. Oh, foolish people that don't want to believe the Word of God. Hopefully, the good Lord would never say that about us, right? That he's like, oh, that church, man, they're a little different down there. They're a little weirder, but man, they believe my word. They believe my word. That's all the difference in the world sometimes, man, is believing that God can do what he said he can do. And God will do what he said he can do in my life. Amen? And he said to them, oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Huh. Now that you said that, there was a lot mentioned about that in the Old Testament. There was that Isaiah 53. There was the Psalm stuff. There was the thing in Genesis, yeah, where Abraham was going to sacrifice his son. And Abraham said, well, God will provide himself. Man, I don't know. Yeah. See, even when things are heavy and look hopeless, don't let it be hopeless, man, because we have the Word of God. This is the wonderful blessing that we have, man. And we can have an audience with the Father anytime we want to because of what Jesus Christ did at that cross. We can talk to the Creator of the universe, and he wants to listen to us. When nobody else wants to hear you out talking about how hard and tough and life is, you know what? The good Lord's ready and waiting to spend some time with you. Amen, amen. Tell the truth, shame the devil. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter in his glory? Well, let's think about that for 1 second. Let's look back at the Old Testament. And didn't those guys right there, Noah, Moses, Daniel, Joseph, those guys went through some really, really hard times before they got to that elevated place, before they got to that place of glory. Let's just say glory. So, and if Jesus went through that, then why in the world do we think our life should be so stinking easy, man? You know, this is what we signed up for. I'm just here to tell you the truth. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So he takes them. Wouldn't that be awesome? For Jesus Christ to take you through a journey through the Bible. Now that would be an awesome TV show. This week on the road to Emmaus. You know, and you know, talking about all this stuff, talking about in the Garden of Eden, the snake and all that. That was about me. It was about me, seriously. You know, these guys are like, wow. They are getting so fired up and so encouraged. They went from hopeless to now they're getting a little excited, man. They're like, man, far out, dude. Yeah. Yeah. He's alive. You know what my favorite part, Larry? He's alive. Love that, man. That is awesome, man. I'm serious. I love that, man. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning him. All the scriptures. So take the Bible, test out the Word of God. Don't test me because I mess up all the time. But that says you can look in every book of the Bible and you will see prophecies about the Messiah. Do it. It's true. They're in there. And tell me by next week. Show it to me. And everyone gets a shiny copper penny. No, it's true. It's true. Anyways, listen, let's real fast. We're going to finish this next week, and all God's people said amen. Let's read Isaiah 48 and verse 10. Behold, I've refined you, but not as silver. I have tried you. I have refined you. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. So, God's very open, man, about this Christian thing, man. Like, it's a tough road, man. It's hard. But there's a reason for it. And I'll never leave you. And with me, with the Most High God, ain't nothing impossible. I'm taking you to a good place, a better place. And I'm maturing you along the way so you can stop thinking about just yourself. So you can be there for other folks. Amen? Now, closing, Jesus, they don't even know it's Jesus yet, but he's taking them through the scriptures. So say we got a buddy, man. We got someone, their hearts are broken, they're hurting. Why don't we hear them out? Why don't we spend some time with them? Jesus is hanging out with these folks, man. He doesn't have to do that. He's the risen Savior. There's a million other things I think I'd be doing instead of walking with these cats. And he's walking with them on this 7-mile journey. I think, well, it doesn't matter, but it's so interesting that he's hanging out with these people because they're hurting and he loves them. And that's what God does to us, man. He wants to hang out with us. And he's walking them through the scriptures. So let's take our friends through a journey in the scriptures and show them where God has been faithful. And let's tell them in my life where God has been faithful. Yeah, but you're a Christian. Yeah, but I ain't always been a Christian. Yeah, well, you're a Christian. Well, I still do stupid stuff all the time, man. Yeah, but God is faithful. He's faithful. You know what I mean? Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet. Is that true? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So God's word can keep me from stumbling. God's word can keep me from messing up. God's word can encourage me and guide me and lead me. Just like as Jesus Christ could have been like, hey, guess what? I'm Jesus. You know what I mean? Like, boom, you will now see I'm Jesus. He didn't do that. I mean, I would have a lot of fun with that if it was me, but it ain't me. But he walks them through the scriptures. He's showing us what we do. You know what I mean? We got to stand on the word of God. And the word of God will give us strength and give us peace. All right, you guys. Father God, bless these folks, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that we are in love with you, Lord. And we just want your will to be done in our life, Lord. Thank you for your mighty miracles and your healing power. Thank you for being so faithful and good to us, even when we are faithless, Lord. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen. So listen, everybody, if you didn't get your babas, we have a couple more left. And what if you didn't hear, what these are for is to fill up with change, money, checks, whatever you have lying around. Bring them back by Father's Day, and we're going to donate all these bottles full of money back to the Pregnancy Resource Center to help them continue to be a blessing to all these young men and women and young families that are dealing with unexpected pregnancies. Okay, you want to do something to help out your community? You want to do something to fight against sin? Right here, fill this old boy up, and so we can be a blessing to those folks. And also, Wednesday night, it'd be great to see you guys. We have something going on for every age group.